Welcome to St. Paul's Sunday's Snippets. This is a time where we are intentional about stopping to take a moment to reflect upon the readings that are appointed for this day. I pray that as you hear God's word, as you reflect upon the content and the understanding of what God is teaching us in these words, that it may help you in your daily walk with Christ. Now we begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Stir up the wills of your faithful people, Lord God, and open our ears to the preaching of John, that rejoicing in your salvation, we may bring forth the fruits of repentance through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our gospel reading appointed for this day is from the third chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. Now John the Baptist, that is, said to the crowd that came to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the tree. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds ask him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people, the gospel of the Lord. During the season of Advent, one of the recurring persons we hear about during the lessons that are normally appointed for Advent is John the Baptist. And a lot of times people, this is the passage that people envision. John at the River Jordan, proclaiming the good news, preaching, telling them in some ways in harsh words, "Oh, you brood of vipers, repent, be baptized," right? We hear his message. And I think sometimes when we hear it, we don't quite understand the implications of what John is really talking about. And today, it gets really concrete. It really helps us to see where in some ways the rubber hits the road. For some people, when they think of repentance, what they think of or what comes to their mind is to be sorry for what we have done. And as some parents have said to their kids, sorry isn't good enough. Or sorry doesn't fix that. It's one thing to be sorry for when we fail. But repentance is literally turning away from what we have done and moving towards something else. So it's moving away from our sinfulness and moving towards God. John is calling them not to just acknowledge their sinfulness, not to acknowledge the ways that they have failed. But he's calling them to a new way of life. And the way that we can see that is by the conversation that happens. We don't think much about this. We don't talk much about this conversation that happens, right? After the words that we're familiar with, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits of worthy of repentance," right? That you, God can raise up children of Abraham from these stones. But then it goes on and says, then the crowd said to him, they heard his message and they said, "What then should we do?" What does this mean for us in daily life? And notice what John says. He doesn't give them platitudes. He doesn't go back to repent, live a life worthy of the gospel. He gives the people very specific, tangible things to do. He says, if you have two coats, give to somebody who has none. Now, many of us, if you were to go into my closet, I have many coats, right? We have spring coats and fall coats and winter coats and raincoats and coats that we don't wear very much, that in our culture, it's not an unusual thing. That wasn't the case then. To have two coats was a sign of, in some ways, wealth. That you were fortunate enough that you had more than actually you needed. John says, if you've got two coats, give to somebody who has none. If you have food, give to somebody who has none. He says, part of this repentance, part of bearing fruits that are good, is to share with our neighbor, to help those who are in need. And then it says, even the tax collectors came, and they asked, "Teacher, what should we do? How do we live this out?" They're really saying, what does this mean for my daily life? And John tells him, collect no more than what's owed to you. Be honest in your dealings with people. The soldiers wouldn't have been Jewish citizens. They wouldn't have been, Roman citizens who were making sure the peace was kept. So some of the soldiers there would have been non-Jews, and even they were coming, and they were wondering. They were enwrapped by this message to say, well, what does this mean for us as well? And John says, well, don't extort people. Don't take advantage of your position. Even though you are in a position of power and strength, don't use it to intimidate others. Don't use it to get more, but be content with your wages. Be satisfied with what you have. Don't covet more. The people at their place of life, no matter what they were doing, said, what can we do? And I think in some ways what this passage calls us, as we hear John's message, maybe we should ask the same question. Maybe we should say, what then should we do? What does this mean for you and your daily life? How do you live out a life of repentance? How do you bear worthy fruit? Notice, John didn't say the same thing to everybody. But he said to those who had more, give. To the tax collectors, he said, don't take advantage of your position. He said something similar to the soldiers. Don't use your power over other people. That he spoke to the people in their position. And that's the difficult thing, because it would be so easy to say, well, here's what it means. Here's the five steps. If you take this, this is what it means to live a life of repentance. But as a pastor, I can't completely do that, because what that may look like for you may be different than what it looks like for me. And what it looks like for you may be different than what it looks like for your neighbor. What it looks like for you may be different than the person that you're standing next to or sitting next to. The question always comes back to us. For us to be in conversation with the Holy Spirit. To say, well, what must I do? How are we being convicted to live lives of repentance? To bear fruits that are worthy? Maybe you're in a position to be able to help others more. And if that's the case, maybe you should do that. If you're in a position of power, maybe you should seek to rule with compassion to help those who are, that you are over. If you, whatever that may be, to seek to say, what is it that Jesus would want me to do? How do I follow his words? To love one another, to help my neighbor, to continue to spread the good news of what God is doing in our midst. And to ask that question, what does that mean for me? What does that mean in my life? What gifts and talents do I have that I need to be using? That's a mark of repentance. For when we use them for the kingdom, we turn and we move to God. John the Baptist calls us away from a life of selfishness to a life of selflessness, which we see echoed in Jesus as he empties himself and gives himself for the sake of the world on the cross. What must we do? Ask yourself, what must I do? What is Jesus calling me to do in my daily life? So that we hear the words of John and it gets fulfilled day in and day out. Amen. Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come. During this Advent season, we hear the words of your servant, John the Baptist, who calls us to repentance. Challenge us, O Spirit, for us to hear his call and to seek to know what that means for us in our lives today. Help us to turn to you always, to be attentive to your word, heed your call, and follow you day by day. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Now as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way. May he go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you peace. Amen.